Okay, we want to continue our study in 2 Timothy. We're in the first chapter, and we're at verse 13. And let's just read the verse to begin with. It says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Now, I just want to remind you that this is a letter. It's a personal letter written to Timothy by Paul. So he's given him an exhortation here. And I want us to, if you would, Michaela, pull us up in the interlinear. I want us to just be a little bit deliberate with this, okay? 5296, the word form, let's look at that. It's an imitation, okay? A sketch, an imitation. Then look at hold fast. And it's obviously to hold on. And then look at the word sound. To have sound health, to be well, figuratively, to be uncorrupt, or to be true in doctrine, okay? And then words is logos, okay? All right, now, with that in mind, I wanted you to see what the words mean, first off, to understand what Paul is telling Timothy, which applies to us, right? Okay? And we take the principle, we take this, not just like Paul talking to Timothy, but the instruction is good for us as well. Be true in your doctrine. Be healthy in what you're saying, okay? Now, there's a lot of doctrine. There's a lot of things that's being spoken. Timothy has heard Paul. You understand, Timothy doesn't have all the information that you and I have today. He didn't have the Bible as we have it today, okay? So what he knows about the gospel, what Timothy knows about the Holy Spirit and the basic doctrines that you and I take for granted today, he's heard from Paul. And Paul calls him his son. And so Paul's been like a father to Timothy, pouring in to him. Now, his instruction here is to hold fast, adhere to, do not let go of the things that you've heard, the true doctrine. You understand? This is why it is so important that we know the Word of God, not from what people say, but from what the Bible says. You and I can read Paul's writings. Do you know we benefit? Just like Timothy benefited from what he heard Paul say, we benefit from what Paul wrote. It's a true doctrine. You understand, this is a man that was taken up into the third heaven, was given revelations beyond anyone else. This is a man that knew Jesus by the Spirit. The apostles of Jesus, you know, like Peter and John and James, these guys knew Jesus naturally. Paul said he was born out of due season. Okay? They knew him naturally. Paul had the opportunity of coming to know him spiritually to the point that he knew more about what Jesus did in redemption than the apostles. The apostles, Jesus' apostles, were actually learning from Paul's teaching because of what God has shown him. True doctrine. Healthy, you understand. Not religion. This isn't Judaism. This isn't law. This is the fact, the reality of what Jesus Christ has done. I feel like it's important to not just say pattern of sound words, but I want you to know what the sound words are. Paul is wanting Timothy to imitate him or follow him as he follows Christ. Timothy, you've heard what I teach. You teach what I teach. You understand? And that's what we're to do. We're to teach the Word of God. At another place, he tells Timothy, he said, preach the Word. It's amazing how many things are preached today that are not the Word of God. It doesn't come out of the Bible. It's the opinions of men. It's fabrication, you understand. And we don't need... This right here, it has enough truth in it to last you a lifetime preaching. I'll promise you that. And you won't exhaust it. So we need to hold fast to true doctrine. True doctrine is what the Bible says, not what somebody says the Bible says. It's not hard to figure out. Just read it. And let it, the Bible, let it talk to you. Get sound words in you. You understand? And then hold fast to them. Now, I believe that when you look at this, Paul is dealing with Timothy about conversation, obviously, that Timothy's heard through Paul's preaching, his teaching, and personal instruction. You understand? They're all good, you understand, as long as it's the Word of God. And obviously with Paul, he was getting the Word of God. But what we must understand is that our conversation and our faith must agree. Our love must agree. And I'm talking about true doctrine. It must agree with the Bible. If you listen, and I'm not talking about being critical, I'm talking about guarding your heart. If you listen to the conversation of most people, you'll find that it doesn't agree with the Bible. People actually talk against themselves. And I believe we could change things dramatically in our lives by saying what God says about us. Do you say what you think about you, or do you say what God thinks about you? Think about it. Okay? To say that I can't, and to say that I'm unworthy, and to say all these negative things is not what God says about you. So when you make these statements, you put yourself in opposition to God. You're agreeing with the devil, not with God. God wants us agreeing with Him. He wants us to get a true doctrine on the inside of, and the only true doctrine is what God says. He can't lie, you understand. He does tell the truth, and the Word of God is the Word of truth. The Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth. And when you're agreeing with the Word and the Spirit, you're agreeing with truth. You're getting true doctrine. So, our confession has to agree with our actions. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to practice it. I can say I'm saved, but does my lifestyle depict that I'm saved? Do other people know I'm saved because of how I act, or do I have to tell them? If I have to tell you I'm saved for you to know it, we probably have a problem. You understand? You may not be able to put the right terminology to it, but you know something's different. You can tell when a person acts like the world and when a person doesn't act like the world. Just by lifestyle, by habits, by the conversation, by the words that comes out of their mouth, even their countenance, their attitude, the way they treat people. It's the character of Christ, you understand, that you see in a person that is truly born again, to where the nature of God is being manifested in that individual's life. To where you love people because you want to, not because they deserve it. You do things for people because you want to, not because they deserve it. You treat people like you want people to treat you. It's not in the heart of God to take advantage of people. Isn't it amazing in society today, the old expression, dog eat dog world, and instead of the golden rule of doing unto others as you would have them to do unto you, it's do unto others before they do it to you. And we've got to get this thinking, our minds renewed to where it's in agreement with God's Word. Then we're holding fast to a true doctrine, a sound pattern. We're actually just imitating the Lord. And that is really what we're supposed to do. Right? I mean, don't you think that the body of Christ should act like the head? I mean, it just stands for reason. That the body properly represents the head. But you have to renew your mind. You understand? When a person is born again, their mind's not renewed. You with me? I was just talking to someone yesterday. Actually, they asked me a question. You know, about a situation, you know. Because so often we think when a person is born again, they're not supposed to make a mistake. Or we think when a person is born again, you know, we may have been born again 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever, and we think the person born again today is supposed to know everything we know. And what you have to understand is it starts as an infant. You grow in grace. You don't expect an infant to know what you know or to act like you act, do you? No. Now what we're to do is to assist them in growth. It's not condoning wrong practices, but it's not beating them up when they do something wrong. It's instructing. Just tell them what the Word of God says. Don't tell them God doesn't love you. That's a lie. God loved you when you were ungodly. Jesus died for you before you were ever born, if you really want to get technical about it. You understand? So let's get our words right. Let's get our minds renewed, and the only way to do that is by getting the Scriptures in us. What you're actually doing is superseding old information. You understand? Everybody in this room has been programmed forever how old you are. That many years you've been programmed. Think of all of the bad information that's been programmed into your mind. People grow up thinking that they're not as good as other people. They grow up with, you know, inferiority complexes and low self-esteem, as society calls it, and all that. And because of horrible situations that they had nothing to do about, abuse, molestation, and rape, and all the other things that you can imagine, then that person feels inferior. And they think that God sees them as inferior. Nothing could be farther from the truth. That's not how God sees you at all. And God wants to get us to where our thinking is so renovated that we start seeing ourselves like God sees us. He's no respecter of persons, is he? No. What he does for one, he'll do for another. And if you can realize this, that when Jesus died for the sin of humanity, you are a human. So he died for you. And you have to see it as a personal thing. He's a personal Savior, not just a corporate Savior. And it's easy, or it's interesting, that people find it easier to believe in a corporate Savior than a personal Savior. We can believe that He'll save these, but we're not sure about the individual, ourselves, personal. And I'm going to tell you, if you are not absolutely certain that you're born again, then you need to start talking to the Lord. You need revelation. Or you need, if you want to talk to us, we're available. But people should absolutely know that they are born again, that God loves them, that Jesus Christ has died for them and risen again, and He's given us His life, eternal life. So you never have to fear death because you've already died. And so you won't know when you die. Everybody else will, but you won't. You just made a transition. You went from one place to another place. You didn't die. You relocated. Okay? Well, thank God we're going to relocate. And it's going to be a better location. But you need to be certain of that. And for some reason, I just feel like I really need to bring this home. Because I'm seeing people that's been in church all their lives and they're not sure of their salvation. And when I say, do you absolutely know? If you drop dead right now, you'll be in the presence of the Lord that quick. You need to say, of course I will. Why would you think any differently? So we need to be that certain. Paul was that certain. You understand? Why? He had a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he told Timothy, he said, and I want you to think about what I've told you. Let me go back to the text and read so we can get back in this, okay? Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. That good thing which was committed to you by the Holy Spirit, keep. Now, if you're like me, the first thing you're going to do is ask yourself, what good thing? What's he talking about? What is the good thing that's been committed to Timothy? Now, we do not have specific detail. And actually, if you go in and you look at the scholars and the various mindsets, you'll see differences of opinions, okay? If you remember that this is a letter, and if you read a letter, you just start at the beginning and read it all the way through, and by reading it all the way through, it ties together, doesn't it? And in verse 6, he talks about a gift that's been given to him, and this is probably what he's referring to, that good thing that's been given to you, keep through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we could take this and to a broad spectrum. Obviously, when he got the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Messiah and the Redeemer of mankind, that's a good thing. Hold to it. Don't let it go. And then when he gets the instruction, here's another thing you must understand. That Timothy is now not the student, but now he's teaching doctrine. Not only is he learning doctrine, but he's to teach doctrine as well. See, first Timothy, we found that he was left in Ephesus to set order. So he's not a novice, you understand. But you never get to the point that you don't need to learn. So we have to keep ourselves open to that. And now Paul is reminding him of what's been put on the inside of him. Have you ever just stopped and meditated, just thought about, pondered, however you want to say it, what's been put inside you? Do you know that God, if you're born again, that God lives in you? That Jesus abides in our heart by faith. That the Holy Spirit lives within us. Do you know that? I'm talking about knowing it. If you know it, why do you pray like God's light years away? Just to realize that you talk to God. He's right here. He's not just beside you. He's in you. You carry on a conversation with the Lord. And you listen to the Lord. The Lord will talk to you. Believe it or not, the Lord will talk to you. But there's a lot of voices out there. Now, you need the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Or an angel of light may be trying to give you something and make you think it's God. A lot of people talk about God said, and if they knew the Word, they'd know God didn't say that because it doesn't agree with the Word of God. And if you were sensitive to the Spirit, you wouldn't have borne witness to it in the first place. You with me? But God's in you. God's in you. Jesus is a gift. Hold fast to that gift. The Holy Spirit's a gift. Hold fast to that gift. The abilities that God has given you in order for you to fulfill your purpose on earth, those things are gifts. Keep that. Remind yourself. Now he says, keep by the Holy Spirit. Here again, I put great emphasis on praying in the Spirit. I put great emphasis on being led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit will never lead you away from what God wants you to do. He'll never lead you away from the gifts. He'll never lead you away from the assignment. You understand? The Spirit of God will guide and direct you to where you're utilizing the gifts that God's given to you. And everybody on the planet has something to give. You understand? You're here because there's a purpose for you being here. And you don't need to look for the purpose. You just need to do what you know to do. And if you do what you know to do, you're going to fulfill your purpose. It's not that difficult. But we complicate it when we don't need to. Keep that. Guard it. By the Holy Spirit in you. Be sensitive to the Spirit. Then in verses 15 through 18, Paul reminds Timothy of those who've turned away from him, also of Onesiphorus. Let's read these verses. He says, "This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus." Because Timothy was there at Ephesus and he was a witness to how Onesiphorus had ministered to Paul. Now, it's interesting that Paul names two, Phygellus and Hermogenes. He said they've deserted. They've departed. But Onesiphorus has proven himself faithful. Now, here you have to understand this to appreciate it. Christianity is not popular at that time. Jesus, the way, is being heavily persecuted. Christians are being imprisoned, put to death. their goods confiscated, all these type things. So the tendency would be to fly below the radar. Hi, don't let them know that you believe in Jesus. And I think because of fear, that many of them back down, just like they're doing today. It's no different when they tell you not to use the name of Jesus, not to represent the Lord, you understand, in whatever way. Do you say, okay, I don't want to offend? Listen, the gospel offends. So if you're offended with the gospel, that's your problem, not mine. I'm not backing down from the gospel. If you're offended with the name of Jesus, that's your problem, not mine. I was just reading this morning where Peter and John were brought before the council because they'd healed the man in the name of Jesus. And they told him, don't preach or teach anymore in the name. My paraphrase is, Peter says, you determine whether we should obey God or man. But I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to obey God. We're going to preach and teach in the name. And they further threatened them. Now, the interesting thing is when they went back and told what happened and had a little prayer meeting there, they prayed for more boldness to speak the word.
Amen.
And asked the Lord to stretch forth his hand. Heal people and stretch forth your hand with signs and wonders. In other words, we want everybody to know it. Do you understand that that's what they're saying? We're not doing this in a closet. We're not intimidated by what they're saying. No, we're going to continue to preach the gospel because we know what the gospel does. The gospel liberates. The gospel sets people free. The gospel heals. You know, there's miracles in the gospel. Devils are cast out through the gospel. That's why it's so important that we not back down from the name of Jesus or from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, regardless of the threats. Now, with that in mind, Onesiphorus didn't care who knew who he was looking for. He found which prison Paul was in and ministered to him. That'll give you a little bit of an insight. Jesus said, when I was in prison, you visited me. How was he in prison? His body, who was representing him, was in prison. A lot of people misunderstand that. They think he's talking about criminals. That's not what he's talking about at all. What he's talking about is the people who were in prison. He said, when I was in prison. How in the world was Jesus in prison? He was in Paul. He was in Peter. He was in the others who were put in jail. You understand? Onesiphorus visited Jesus when he visited Paul. Do you see that? And that's pretty incredible when you think about it. Paul standing up, Lord, remember him. May it go well for him. Not ashamed. And this is a thing that I just feel strongly about in this time period, this era, to where there's so much opposition against Christianity. This is the time we must become more bold for the Lord, not ashamed of who we represent.
Yes.
not ashamed of the message, not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is ostracized even by a lot of evangelicals. So people back down, they move away from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the one who leads you and guides you in all truth. And when you back down from the Holy Spirit, you just abandon the only one that can successfully lead you. Amen. This is not the time to back down. This is not the time to sit down. This is the time to stand up. This is the time to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Know what Paul said? See, that's got to resound on the inside of us. I am not ashamed of the good message of Jesus, because I know what the good message will do. In that name, devils are cast out. In that name, you speak with new languages. In that name, if you take up serpents or drink something poisonous, it doesn't hurt you. In that name, the sick are healed. Why would you back down from that name? No other name of any other God can do that. So why would we back down when we're serving the God of power? Why are we backing down from powerless gods? Got a little bit of Elijah in me. Let's find out who God is. The God that answers by power, by fire, right? Let Him be God. Let's get bold. Let's pray for boldness. I've been praying for boldness. Boldness to speak your word. Boldness to step out. Amen? He needs representatives, not cowards. You understand? The people that will represent Him well. Thank God for the Onesiphoruses. Thank God for the Pauls and the Peters and those that are not ashamed of the name of Jesus. Amen? All right, that's chapter 1. we'll take our break before we go into chapter 2. There's a lot in this chapter. Thank you, God. I want us to look at, okay?